Valentine's Day is this Saturday. But the coolest thing ever is that we get to spend Valentine's Day every day. It's a lot like Christmas because we've got God. You know, it's just like love.
It is love.
So we thought it would be appropriate to elaborate on that.
On God's love.
Because there is no love.
My favorite Hungarians.
He's kind of my favorite right now.
I just want to clarify on the Hungarian part.
Is that her phone that says it's
like,
on 20%?
I don't think I can say, like, oh, the Mexican.
Sorry, Ashley, you might.
By the way, guys, by the way. We're going to try this new thing where we're going to try to podcast Freedom Builders.
For realsies, because I really
wanted
to
by this time.
Well, starting today, so.
I would just like to finish off saying, I don't appreciate when people call me, like, Hungarian.
You're Hungarian.
Everything
that you say is going to be downloaded to podcast. So. We're trying to get approved.
I'm probably going to have to cut this beginning out, but it's all recorded.
It's all doses and remotes. Okay, we're going to start now.
We should finish it off like this is sex.
Well, we thought love would be a wonderful topic because
Valentine's Day.
Oh, I liked it. Sorry. This kid is always spot on.
And well, when you look at what love is and when you look at what God is love. And it's as simple as that. It's simple, yet it's not. Because love is what was so complex, so crazily, that it made the creator of the universe move and come down to earth, as we already talked about, and become one of us to die for us. So that's kind of just something that we're gonna just kind of open, discuss, with restrictions. Jeremy. With restrictions. But we're gonna openly discuss about topics in the Bible where God displays love. So let's start with
So I am going to open up to the bit, well, the most, I don't even know. All the books in the Bible are awesome.
Song of Solomon.
Yes, we're gonna read the entire book of the Song of Solomon.
It's love.
That is. Yeah. All right, so for those of you who have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Genesis. Good old book of Genesis. Chapter 1. We're in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And this is one of my favorite verses, and I have a lot of those. This is one on the very, 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 very extensive list. But it says here, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Yo.
Dude. God's
a love story right there.
One of the best love stories ever. The best love story ever. It starts out with God creating us. So God's chilling up in heaven. But first, okay, what do you guys think? When it says here in verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Who do you think God was talking to when he said ours? He said, let us make God in our image.
Well, it was him and wisdom, so.
All right.
Yeah. And let's go for even further. Who was wisdom?
Jesus.
Right on. You guys are smart. This is why we're free.
This is awesome.
Yes. I think it's cool. Like, I love that verse because it's moments like that when you, you know, can get down on yourself or, like, the world kind of sucks. Like, to be completely honest, the world kind of sucks. It tells you it's not, you're not good enough. They tell you you're not strong enough. They tell you all these lies that are constantly being fed
to
you. No, it's fine. You can, like, it's fine. But what's really cool when you're able to acknowledge, like, no, it's fine. They don't have to listen. It's really cool that when you acknowledge that you are made in the image of God, like, I don't know, there's something that you should look at yourself differently. You should hold yourself differently. Like, when you really know that you were made in the image of God, like, your walk, your talk, like, everything, things should actually change about you. Because no longer are you just walking around thinking, like, oh, either, like, I was a mistake, like, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. Like, when you understand that you were made for a purpose, that you were handcrafted in the image of God, like, there is something so powerful in just that one verse right there and being able to understand that when the Lord created you, like, he wanted to make you a mirror image of who he is. And when we have that ability to, like, do that, like, and especially, like, I mean, like, for myself personally, like, as a woman, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're bogged down, you're told all these lies. Like, when I finally understood, like, who I was in Christ and, like, the fact that God created me in his image, like, my shoulders went back. Like, I stood up a little straighter. And no longer was my worth in, you know, who I was talking to, like, what boy liked me, whatever, like, when I was younger. Like, all these different things that you could go off the list, like, how many friends you have, what you're involved in, like, all these things, like, no longer does that matter. How many people like your tweet, how many people like your Instagram, who replies to your Instagram. Sure. There's all these things like that that are constantly being fed into us that are telling us we're not good enough, it's not pretty enough, we're not skinny enough. Like, as a woman, that's how I identify. And when you understand that one verse, like, it just takes one verse to completely change the way that you go about your life. As you can tell, I love this verse, so.
I have a question about, like, what if you hear it so many times, like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you grow up on that. You know, you grow up on the verses. You grow up on the... I mean, I have some. I had some that, like, came to me and really hit hard. But, like, even this, it's like... what else? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get it after you've gotten it so many years? There's so many, like... You know, what do you do to, like, refreshing the same sentence?
You go deeper.
Again.
You keep looking for these verses, and the Bible is incredible in this way that these verses, when we come back, when we've heard them a million times, you keep coming back to them, finding something else that it relates to, something else that it points to, something else that it speaks to. And part of it is not just reading the verse and being like, yeah, I know that one, but coming to it and being like, where else can I apply this? Because I've had more life experience since the last time I read this. Where does this apply now?
Or because of different seasons in your life. Or you read it different versions. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah, speed on, I get that.
Go ahead. I'm done.
But I'm talking about, like, I get that, but, like, for it to come alive.
Compared to the places that you are in your life, and I know that each time you read a certain verse, compare it how relative it is to where you're at. And... like, with this verse, what Des was saying, it doesn't matter what season, what age, where you're at in your life, being told that you were made in the image of God is always going to be refreshing. It's always something that you're going to want to hear. It's always something that's going to lift your spirits high, because that's what you were made in. It's nothing that you can deny. It's not, oh, well, I passed that season. Like, being made in the image of God doesn't apply to me anymore. It's not that, because that's who we were created by. That's what we were created for, the purpose to be his daily delight, if you reference OSL, you know?
I think it's cool, too, because sometimes in those moments we're like, because I totally get what you're saying, like, that sometimes you hear, like, it's the whole, like, Jesus loves you. Like, when people say that, you're like, yeah, I know, Jesus loves me, but, like, no, like, Jesus loves you. He is passionate about you. He adores you. Like, use other words like that can kind of, like, for me personally, like, when I look at that verse, like, I literally will break it down. Like, let us make man and women in our image. Let us make Jeremy in my image. Like, put your name in that. Make it personal. Yeah. Because in those moments, like, and obviously above everything, like, ask for wisdom. Ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a new way. That's the biggest one that I, like, I would tell you, and like break it down. Like go just word by word. Put your name into it. Like make it so personal that it has to touch you. And like I guarantee you that if you go before the Lord and you say, "Hey God, I need you to refresh this in me," like I have no doubt that God's gonna answer that for you. Because he wants nothing but that for you. Right. And that goes for everyone, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Because, yeah, just that. We hear a lot of things growing up in church, but sometimes we fail to actually realize, you know, we really are made in God's image. And we feel like sometimes we don't measure up. But the fact remains, we are made in his image. And something that we need to do continually is, you know, when we lack an area, we can ask God to help fill that. Because you know, without God, we can't do anything, but with him, we can do everything. You know, he says that, God says in his word, with him, all things are possible. You know, and God won't hold anything back from us. So if we're ever lacking in an area, he says, let him ask and it will be given to you. You know? So what really does help, though, is saying it over and over, you know, I am the righteousness of God, I am the righteousness of God, because sometimes it takes a while for our flesh to realize it, because it's already been revealed to us in our spirit. God's already made us in his image, and our spirit is that way, but it takes a while for our flesh to say, like, oh, dang, like, I am made in God's image, because we're so used to hearing, you know, like Des said, the world sucks. You know, they tell you that you don't measure up in all these areas. Like, you need to be prettier, you need to be buffer, you need to be taller. You know, we don't measure up in certain ways to the world. But God says, no, you're enough. You're made in my image. Listen, so our flesh has become accustomed to hearing these things. You know, yeah, sure, I'm made in God's image. So it takes a while for our flesh to finally realize it. And one thing we need to do is persist daily in saying, you know, flesh, listen up. You are made in God's image. Mm-hmm. And you keep saying it over and over and over again, and it just clicks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like if there are two dogs, and then one was your flesh and one was your spirit. If you feed one more than the other, obviously the one that you feed more is going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're feeding your flesh all the time, like reading posts on Twitter or listening to, I'm not saying secular music is bad, but you do have to have a limit where you're going to go, yeah. So I'm saying, if you're like listening to all this stuff from the flesh, then obviously you're feeding your flesh more, and the dog that eats more is definitely going to win over the dog that doesn't.
Yeah.
And another thing is, the Bible says the word of God is living and powerful. Mm-hmm. So when you repeat these words, when you say, "I am made in the image of God," these words have power attached to them. Like, they are the word of God. So when God spoke these words and he put them in the Bible, there's a certain power. There's the power of the Holy Spirit that is attached to every one of these verses in this Bible. So when you say these things out loud and when you meditate on these scriptures, the Word of God is living and it will work in your life. And the power of the Holy Spirit is able to enter your life. And even if your flesh doesn't get it, like, it takes a long time sometimes for the flesh to get it. But deep inside, you don't see it yet, but it's the Holy Spirit's completely changing you.
Go ahead. Okay. In the spirit of like Valentine's Day and meaningful words, the Lord was just sharing with me, like, imagine if you put your name into like wedding vows as like me being the husband. So I just looked some up right now, and it would be like, I, Christ, take you, fill in the blank, to be my child, my constant friend, my faithful partner, and my love from this day forward. In the presence of God, our family and friends, I offer my solemn vow to be your faithful partner in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, and in joy as well as in sorrow. I promise to love you unconditionally, to support you in your goals, to honor and respect you, and to laugh with you. And just like how Christ is our Father, he's also our...
Sorry, everyone at once.
No, it's just how Christ loves us as a father. He loves us as a partner as well. And I think it's really important to remember that because, like, a lot of times we could get caught up in just lust and things like that when really our our sole purpose is to be a partner with Christ. Mm-hmm. So just like keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That was
really
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I actually, you know what? I've never really heard. Is that like a very general vow that like?
Yeah, I just looked it up on
that's
Google.
That's really cool because that's gonna be an exciting day. Yeah. I know. I'm with all seriousness though, but like. And you knowing related to God and stuff, that is gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Where am I going with this? I don't know.
And you know, I know like guys get all weirded out, like I don't want to marry a guy, but honestly. But like in heaven, the Bible says that there's no female or male. There's everybody's one in Christ. So really, it's not gonna matter once we get to heaven and once we're there at the altar with Christ. So.
That was good.
Really good. You know what I think? Like that is very good. But as the Bible says that we have to live in, like God didn't take us out of the world, and this isn't really conflicting. I think it should be more like adding to it or something that. I think the hardest thing in life is living in this world, but at the same time keeping the perfect balance and pursuing God without leaving this world, because we're not called to leave this world. God, you know, you specifically said, I'm not taking these guys out of the world. I'm actually placing you guys in the world to live in the world, mm-hmm. to change the world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time we live in the world, you know, it can easily, like, I mean, I wouldn't say easily affect us, but it does affect us, and at the same time we need to get stronger, but... That's the battle right there, is finding the balance of how to keep our eyes on God because we can't separate ourselves, like we can't pull ourselves out of the world, like we don't have the privilege to, you know, God has put us here. So I think what you were saying about that is, how am I going to tie this into that? I don't know, but other than, yeah, that's the hardest part. That for me right now, and I would say, you know, getting out of high school as, you know, planning on, you know, eventually getting married, getting a house, you know, da 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 da. But so as we live in the world, to keep focus on God, keep that faith, and not to live like we're not a part of this world. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I think
because then it can become weird. You know,
you can be a part of this world. It just says not to conform to it.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, like you have to be in the world. Like I don't know. I look at Amy Semple for instance, and like. We all know I'm a big fan of her, but, like, if you look at her in her life, like, how much... Amy Semple, the founder of Foursquare, she was in L.A. in the 20s, in Los Angeles, in the heart of it. She knew celebrities. She talked to people. She was with people. Like, she would go out to the home. Like, she would just walk the streets and talk to people and love on people. And it's... God doesn't tell us to completely segregate ourselves or separate ourselves. Like, God is telling us to love on these people, and he's not telling us to, you know... Like, I don't know, like, to me, like, I love that idea of not conforming to the world, but you can still be a part of it.
Yeah.
But, and that is, though, that's the battle, because when you are a part of it, the enemy can, he can attack you, he can get at you, the world will get at you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem, is, and I understand that, what you're saying of, like, trying to find that balance, and I think that's the ultimate thing, is trying to find the balance. But as long as you are pursuing your heart, your spirit is pursuing the Lord... Like, when you're with people, when you're talking to people, like, then you're different. Like, allow yourself to be different. And, like, when we were in worship, someone had made a comment, and I really, like, I don't know who this is for, but I want everyone, make God so real in your life that you can't ignore him. Mm-hmm. Like, make him so real and present in your life that you can't look away from him, that, like, you have to acknowledge his presence. And I think that was just for someone that I had gone during worship. So, that I'm done.
Yeah,
like,
can you press that button?
It's buggy. I was probably
going to
die.
We got
a charge of fan. I think I'm in.
Hi, Ashlyn. She's back.
So what city is Ashlyn in right now?
Lombok.
Yeah.
It's by Santa Barbara.
Lombok.
Santa Barbara?
We only have a couple minutes left.
Sorry.
All right,
we don't have a lot of time left. So let's. Okay. Hey guys, we
don't have a lot of time left.
Next one.
Hey guys.
Okay. Just really quickly. Yeah. Okay, so there's verses that actually describe how powerful. I mean, the gifts of the Lord are really powerful, but how powerful is love really? 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I still, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. They're saying, right here in the Word of God, that these gifts, these things that are so powerful in the worlds, both worlds, flesh, spiritual, physical, you know, love is the most powerful of all of them. And if you don't have love, you sound like a clanging cymbal, and that's, Pastor Hartman said a demonstration, it's just, you're just making noise. It's not being understood, it's not being comprehended, it's just noise. And without love, that's exactly what it is. And although I have the gift of prophecy, but without love, it's nothing. How powerful is love if you put it in that perspective? That prophecy is the gift of being the mouthpiece of God. Being able to speak his actual words that he actually speaks through you so that you can tell other people. And without love, it's nothing. So that kind of puts love in perspective. If I have faith, I can move a mountain. But without love, it doesn't mean anything. Mm. How powerful is love? Does anyone have anything to add?
I think one of the most important things about love is humility. Like, they go hand on hand with each other, mm-hmm. because I noticed so many times that I would have, like, really good weeks, and sometimes I'd be feeling like, boy, I used to do this where I'd feel like, yeah, man, you know, I'm pumping with God, like, I'm in it, you know, I'm the guy right now, you know, like, I'm kind of in good times right now, not really struggling, and you know what, I'm gonna go love on this guy my way, you know what I mean, like, I'm gonna, like, show him love the way I think that he wants to get loved or something, and not really... And it would become something like this, like I'd be talking to a guy like this, or instead of like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, I remember this one, when Jesus was walking by, and these two blind dudes were, well, obviously they were blind, but they were yelling, Lord, Lord, you know, they heard Jesus was coming by, and then Jesus walks up to him. Of course, they shushed him, and they cried all the louder. Jesus walks up to him, and if I were Jesus, I'd be like, okay, be healed, move on, like, you know, we got a lot of people to heal. But no, he says, what is it that you want me to do to you? And, you know, it's like, well, what else? That I'm blind, but you know, God cared for people so much that he not really cared for what he thought people would want. He cared for them so much that he wanted, you know, by all means, what that person wanted or what he cared for, what was important to him, what do you want, you know? And I mean, it was obvious, but Jesus went the extra mile, and instead of just giving him what was the obvious, he asked him what was it that he wanted to show, that really it was what they want. Well, if, you know, their healing, and not what God thought that they needed. So humility, I think, is, I mean, for some the easiest, for others the hardest. But humility and love, I think, go hand in hand.
Love and grace.
Mercy.
That leads to another question that I was recently asked, what is grace? What is
grace?
Can we,
what's that? A better thing would be like, what is the difference between grace and mercy?
Mercy.
Wait, isn't mercy when not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve? Wait.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 That's right.
What you do. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace.
Grace and mercy.
What is
mercy?
Mercy is getting what
mercy
you...
Mercy is grace.
It's like chopping off your head, but you don't. Like, you don't get
no.
chopped off.
No, it's like
when
getting pulled over by a cop.
Like, and then grace
away.
Is like, you're just like marrying like the princess of, you know, and you're just like an old little farm boy.
What?
Okay.
Well, if we look at grace, instead of as a concept, but as a person, grace is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big changing point to when grace changes us. What can I get away with to how can I please Jesus? Because
mm-hmm.
when you start understanding and when you start going deeper with that concept of grace as a person, you can't help but to fall in love with that person. And once you fall in love with that person, you can't help but to want to please that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where love and grace, again, meet. That's where mercy, whatever, with the little princess, that's where they meet.
Good, yeah,
it's that all, I'm sorry, it's that whole idea of, like, a relationship. Like, I think Pastor Tammy always says it best, is where she's like, you know, like, when you have a relationship or just, like, a friendship or, you know, like, and all that stuff, like, you know, you, like, okay, for instance, like, okay, Maddie and I, like, I would consider Maddie one of my good friends, but I wouldn't be, like, I don't go around thinking, like, all right, what can I do that just won't tick her off? Like, how am I going to go about this? Like, what can I do to not make her mad? You know, and it's, like, when you
that's
say,
fine,
like, that you have a relationship with God, like, you shouldn't be walking around being like, okay, how far can I push it? Or, like,
yeah,
you know, it's a whole, like, don't dance along the edge of the Grand Canyon. Like, you don't do it. Just don't do it. Like, but instead, like, with, like, I know Maddie. I know what she loves. I know what she desires. And, like, it's, you know, you want to make her happy. You want to do those little things that are going to make her proud and excited and joyful. And it's just kind of like, if, like, I know we can all say that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, but it, there's something different when it's like, no, the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's my best friend. I'm in love with Jesus. Like, those are things that you, that change the way that you convey that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that
makes sense. Can I say something? I'm sorry. About, you know what I'm realizing is that almost in, like, every blessing can become the biggest curse. Like, even what you were saying, it's so nice when someone can know someone and put their needs in front of your own. But it becomes a people-pleasing, suck-up, like, trying to, you know, like...
But that's a
that's a hard issue.
That's a hard issue.
Right,
so
it's one of the greatest things that, you know, can be great, can be turned into the worst things if you're not, if your heart isn't before God, like you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what the devil can do that. And it's like, God, it's like, you know, you look, everywhere you look, it's like, you could fall.
But you shouldn't be looking,
you can do great things.
But you shouldn't be going like, oh man, I could fall here. Like, no. You should be saying, hey, God's got me. God's covered me. Like, it's not a matter of like, I might fall there. Like, oh, like, don't worry about falling. Like, if you really trust that the Lord has got you and that he's covered you, like, you're not going to fall. You're going to glide. You know what I mean? Were you going
to
say something?
Well, yeah, and to use your analogy, like Desmond's saying, you know, you're not sitting there, she's not sitting there thinking, like, okay, like, what can I do to not take Maddie off? Like, okay, really got to not But at the same time, Maddie's not over there just, like, waiting to get ticked off,
mm-hmm,
either, you know.
Yeah.
Des, you know, Des might do something
what's
down,
she
but
do
Maddie's now? Not necessarily
she's
just fly off the handle at her, either, because there is that love. There is that relationship, and with God, it's the same way. You know, it's not like God just like watching you, like you better not screw up, better not screw up. You screwed up. I love you, but now look at you. But that's not what he's doing. You know, that's not where his focus is. His focus is on loving you, on living life, and going through life with you, and the amazing plans he has for you. So if you mess up, he's like, it's okay, get up. You got other stuff to do. Like, but he's excited, looking forward. You know.
So yeah, that kind of concludes like this discussion on what God's love means. So,
can I say one more thing? Sorry, I really love love. I love love.
You know what,
Jess? And I could talk about love. I could talk about love all the time. And it's really cool when you think about like with like when God like you know John 3:16. Like if you think about that verse, like God like it was a choice. No one forced him. Like. Even with Jesus was on this earth in flesh, like knowing exactly what's going to happen to him. And he chose to go through it. And it's cool because sometimes when I like hear like the gospel being preached, like sometimes they're like, yeah, you know, like Jesus went to hell for you. And I'm like, no, but it goes even further than that. Like then God was so faithful to his own son that he was like, I'm not keeping you in hell. Like, I'm going to have you beat death completely. Like, it's almost like it, like, it's better than that.
Yeah.
It's so much better than just, oh, Jesus went to hell for you. Like, oh, that's so true. And that's enough to sit there and praise the Lord and serve him for the rest of your life. But it gets even better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God loved his son so much that he said, I'm not keeping you in hell. I'm going to tick off the enemy so badly and have you get taken out of hell. Like, it goes so much further than that because it was a choice because he humbled himself. Because when you have love, like love is the covering above everything. When you have love, you have humility, you have joy, you have peace, you have strength. Like there's so much that goes under love. And there's so much that goes under love with just showing love and being that sincere, like, from the heart. And in our flesh, like, in what society pictures as love or, you know, all this stuff, like, you know, we can go on a list of how we could see love. It could be, you know, especially with Valentine's Day, it could be giving flowers, it could be giving presents, it could be doing all this stuff. But when you look at love in its purest form, which is agape, which is the purest form of love, like, that love is not in this world. Like, that, like, okay, no, that love isn't in this world because we show it. But, like, in a way of kind of, like, it's not in the societal way that we show love.
It's not of this world.
Thank you.
It's not mainstream.
Thank you, Zach.
It's not mainstream.
Yeah. It's not mainstream. It's hipster love.
I don't even know where love, you know? It's like, love you. It's like...
So overused.
I tell it, yeah. I mean, I don't talk to everyone, but I tell it to a lot of people. Like, Kay and Chris. But we're not that kind of love you, you know what I mean? We're just like, love you.
Okay.
Pastor Jerry was saying, it's interesting how people will be like, one morning they'll say love you to your dog, and then the next... And then an hour later, you'll say it to your grandma. What does love really mean then, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Judah Smith explains it in
Come on.
No.
Where he was like saying he loved something so much, and then in the same sentence, he said how much he loved corn nuts or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Jesus actually explains it in the Bible.
I can hear it.
Love is.
Love
yes.
And, something I want to challenge. Challenge all you guys with before we go is let's actively try to show God's love. Because seriously, when you think about it, it's not something that we constantly try to do. It's just like, you know, we're going to go about our day. We say, okay, I'll show God's love. I'll be a good person.
I'll
today.
Like an extra Twitter tweet.
Yeah, like go out of your way to show God's love. Don't just be like, hey, I love you, bro. Or like, you know. Petty stuff like that, for lack of a better word. But seriously, let's try and ask God to show us His love so that we can be so full with it that it overflows to everyone else. Mm-hmm. Something that I continually do every day is pray that people can see God on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That whenever I walk around, people can say, you know, there's something different about that person. Not because it's anything from me, but it's God in me. You know, I want to encourage you guys, let's pray that God keeps His Spirit in us, and that, you know, we have the revelation of that every day, so we can go out of our way to show God's love.
Can I say something on that?
One last thing.
We have two, but we have, like, seriously three.
All right, my super quick. Something at camp, someone said at camp, one of the guys who was speaking said that he was listening to, like, a history podcast, not even a Christianity podcast, and the guy was saying, like, he was like, I wish that the Christians would show their love, like, God would, like, he was pretty much, like, saying that, like, there's so many, like, hypocritical Christians out there, you know, and, like you were saying, like, just to show your love, like, how God would show His love, you know, and what he was saying was, like, people, there's so many people that say that they're Christian, but they're acting, like, a different way, like, I'll be 100% honest, like, I cut people off on the freeway and stuff like that, like, it's no big deal, you know? But, like,
wow,
like,
those are the people at home.
See, like, as being a Christian, you know, you wanna love those people, and you don't know what that person is going through, like, that day, so, like, instead of being mad at them, you know, just, like, try to have mercy on them, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Mercy.
And to tie it back to Genesis, basically, you have, picture God, being all-powerful, able to do anything. You say any single thing, and it's done. Like, there's absolutely no opposition. You say, let there be light, and it's there. And then there's no one's arguing. No, I'm not going to be light. There's just light, and it appears. And then when you think about it, you have this all-powerful God. He has no needs. If He had any needs, He would speak, and it would be done. He has no needs. And then what does He do? He says, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
So He has no needs. There's absolutely no reason for Him to create us other than to love us.
That's good stuff.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, guys.
We're
going
to close in prayer. Yeah. Father, we thank You for this time we get to come together as a family and talk about Your love and talk about everything You do for us because of how much You truly love us and how much You love to show how much You love us. And so as we go on to this time of Valentine's Day and stuff, that
I pray that we can see your love in us, and that other people can see your love in us, and that we can share this love, and that we can go out of our way to share your perfect love to those who need it and those who don't even need it. Sometimes it goes a long way when people don't even need it and we still show them love. Mm-hmm. It's just that much more that we overflow with your love and that other people can overflow with your love. And it just flows through all of us, Father. I pray that you bless the rest of this time, bless the rest of our week, and I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.